Read a couple verses tonight. First one in Proverbs in the Old Testament. One verse, Proverbs 16 and verse 18. And this verse sort of tells the theme that I want to speak on tonight. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we're thinking tonight of pride. People with pride, after the pride is done with, destruction comes, something bad comes. Pride goeth before destruction. And then over now to the New Testament, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16, that's the verse that I memorized and got saved through, and not me only, many others. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then just one more verse at the end of the chapter, verse 36, describing two classes of people, describing everybody really in the world as being in one class or the other. He that believeth on the Son, that's class one, has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We trust that God will bless to us the reading of his precious word. So what I got upon my heart tonight is speaking on something I spoke on about maybe 6-7 years ago, but I've revised it a bit, and speak on the Titanic and some of the history behind it, and then how the gospel is seen throughout this story. So the Titanic was huge. Ship for its time period. It was built in about 1911 or so, and this was its first voyage, and the voyage was in around April 1912. So we're talking about a ship 106 years ago. So it was a long, long time ago. 106 years ago. So it was huge for its time period when it was built, and it was outfitted with the latest of marine technology and safety equipment. Every consideration was given to comfort. There was elaborate dining rooms. There was graceful winding staircases. There were 4 passenger elevators, and that's amazing in 1912 that they would even have elevators. And the first swimming pool ever installed on a ship like this was on the Titanic. There was a gymnasium, there were loungers, there were bars, so it was an elaborate ship. On board the Titanic were people that were known and people that were unknown. When we think of the people that were known, there were talented people, there were people that had a high position in society, people that had a lot of money, people that were rich. But there were others who weren't as well known, and there was people that were poor. There were those who were considered first-class passengers, there were second-class passengers, and there was third-class passengers. The upper decks were for the first-class people, and for first-class ticket from England to New York in the United States in today's money was somewhere around $50,000 for a first class ticket. So people had money in those days. I just want to tell you just a few statistics related to children that were on board. there were 79 third-class children that were in third-class rooms, etc. And out of those 79 third-class, 52 were lost. So that's 66% of them, of the people that were in third-class were lost, died. First-class, there were six first-class children, and five were saved. Second-class, there were 24 second-class children, and all 24 were saved. But God sees people different and views people different than what other people look at. God sees everybody not as first-class, second-class, third-class. He sees us all in the same class. Romans 3 and 23 says, there's no difference. So there's no difference between first class, second class, third class. There's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or the standard of God. So all have sinned. We're all under the same class. When you become a Christian, when you're saved, when you're born into the family of God, then you are known. Then you're known. But if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter how popular you are, you will be unknown throughout eternity. And there's many examples of this in the Scriptures. I give you one example. The Lord told the story in Luke 16 about the two men. There was the rich man, very, very rich. He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a poor man, and we know his name. It was Lazarus. And where was he? He was at the gate of the rich man's house, waiting for the leftover food. They both died. Their souls departed from their bodies. They were buried. Lazarus, he went to heaven. The rich man, he went to hell, and he lifted up his eyes, and he was in torment. So we don't know the name of the rich man, because he's unknown. We know the name of the Christian, the one that was saved. His name was Lazarus. So we read in Proverbs 16 and 18 that said, pride goes before destruction. And there was much pride on this ship, much, much pride. The captain of the ship, his name was Edward Smith. He had 43 years of experience at sea, and he was heard saying that he could not think of a condition that would cause this ship to have any trouble whatsoever. Not only was the captain experienced, but the designer and the builder of the ship was on this ship, on this voyage. Number two, a woman boarding the ship asked the seaman, one of the workers, he says, is this ship unsinkable? The confident reply was, God himself could not sink this ship. And you know, 4 days later, the ship would sink and 1,500 people would die. Pride says, I can do it my way. Pride says, I can get to heaven my way. And if this is your attitude, you need to change your attitude, and you need to have a humble attitude to prepare, and you need to be prepared to admit that you can't get to heaven on your own. You need another, and that another is Jesus Christ. There were six wireless messages that had been received by the Titanic stating that there were icebergs in the area that they were traveling. Six warnings, six messages. There was danger. There was danger. But the ship did not alter course. The ship did not reduce his speed. And God is warning you tonight. As we read in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but have the wrath of God abideth on him. John 8 and 21, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where he was going, That was heaven. You could not go if you die in your sins. So the night was calm. There was no moon to give light. And it was a night that would be difficult to detect an iceberg. Two men had the job to look out for icebergs. They were not provided with the aid of binoculars that would have been able to assist them. One of them spotted an iceberg and sounded the danger bell. And for 37 seconds, the ship and the iceberg were just coming closer and closer together. And the ship tried to alter course, and the ship, instead of going head on into the iceberg, the ship turned sideways and hit the iceberg on its side. The Titanic hit the iceberg on its side, which caused a 300-foot gash in the ship. But you know, I was thinking of the Garden of Eden. There was pride in the Garden of Eden, and it brought destruction in the Garden of Eden. So Adam and Eve were created to have fellowship with God. They were naked. They weren't ashamed. They had all the trees in the garden to eat of, except one tree, the tree called the knowledge of good and evil. They were not to eat of that tree. So Satan, through the serpent, cast doubt on God's character, suggesting that God was jealous, holding back from their destiny. The serpent said, you will be like God. You will be like God. So Eve looked at the forbidden fruit, that there's potential to make her wise and to be like God. So she's getting prideful. She saw this fruit, something that could make her wise. She took it. She ate it. She gave her to her husband, and he ate it. And we know the results. The promise of divine enlightenment did not come about. Satan never is able to keep his promises. They both ate and saw, and they were both spoiled by doing so. Adam and Eve were no longer comfortable or at ease with each other, and they were not comfortable with God. There was shame. There was fear. Satan's promises never come true. Wisdom is never obtained by disobeying God's word. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So in the garden, there was pride, and then there was destruction. They were taken out of that garden. They now had to work hard for a living in sweat and tears. The woman would have problems in childbearing, and then sin entered into the world so that we're born into the world, inheriting it right back from them sin. We're born as sinners. So one of the warnings received and ignored by the Titanic had come from a ship called the Californian that was just 10 minutes away, and that's not very far. So that this Californian ship had stopped for the night. But this ship was told to shut up. So the captain, in disgust, he turned off the radio, went to sleep for the night. And the Titanic took no safety precautions. Parties probably went on in full confidence in themselves. A man named Phillips, the wireless operator in the radio room, was informed by the captain that they had struck an iceberg. And now they were to ascend, they were to tap out a message for assistance. So after tapping out, shut up, now he's saying, come as quickly as you can. His attitude had changed because the unsinkable ship was about to sink. Unfortunately, the closest ship, the California, had turned off their radio. Often when individuals who have ignored the Savior's invitation realize that they're in danger of something, when they're in danger of eternal death, they too have a change in attitude. And maybe this is you tonight. Romans 10 and 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God is warning you tonight that you have to prepare to meet him. And God does not sleep. He doesn't turn off his radio. So what is your response tonight to the gospel? There were 2,223 people on board the ship. 2,223 people. But the lifeboats only had space for 1,178 people, meaning that if every possible space was taken up, there could only be 1,178 people in the lifeboat. So only potentially 1,178 people could be saved. But with God, all can be saved. There's no limitation. As we read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, the entire world, that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There's no limitations, no limitations. Mr. and Mrs. John B. Thayer, along with their 17-year-old son, whose name was Jack, they were enjoying the first-class rooms on April 14th. After the ship hit the iceberg, the parents and the son were separated. And Mrs. Thayer wasn't doing very good. She became so frustrated because there were so many conflicting orders from the crew members in charge because they were not given proper instructions. She finally said, just tell us where to go and we will go. Just tell us. Just simple. Just tell us which direction to go and we will do it. And let us think of those words. Tell us where to go and we will go. Number one, she was looking for clear direction from the people in charge. Unfortunately, nobody was able to give clear direction. But thankfully, on the most important thing of life, we have clear direction tonight from the one that is qualified to give the clear direction. And that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because he paid the penalty of sin and provided a way to heaven through his work at the cross. And Jesus says in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." We have clear directions on the most important thing of life. So these are your clear instructions tonight. What are you going to do with them? You need to act upon God's instruction as they're given to us. Those who come here with their parents and hear the gospel often and often, you don't know how fortunate you are. There was somebody in our class today that never really, really heard the gospel, didn't know anything about the Bible, and yet you've heard the word over and over again. What are you going to do with it? You've got more responsibility than the people that come to our class because you've heard it so, so often. So clear instructions. We need to act upon them. The last lifeboat was lowered into the water. About 1,500 people were still on the ship, mostly men. 700 passengers and crew were in the lifeboats that were designed to accommodate 1,200. So there was only 700 passengers at this time in the lifeboats, but the lifeboats were designed for 1,200. At 4 a.m., another ship called the Carpathia arrived to the area, but the Titanic was no longer there. So the rescue started, and they rescued people in the lifeboats. It was April 18th at 9:30 in the evening that the Carpathia arrived in New York City with all the people that they've saved from the water. A list of the saved and the lost was issued by the White Star Line. There were revisions, and then there were more revisions, until finally the list was finalized, and the list was unalterable. There was no in-between position. You couldn't go from one side to another side. I want to tell you about a Christian on the ship by the name of John Harper. The night before the ship sank, he was seen leading someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. The night of the disaster happened, as they were loading the lifeboats, John Harper was heard shouting out, "Let the women, children, and unsaved get into the lifeboats." Then he removed his life preserver, his life jacket, and gave it to another man. The Titanic disappeared at 2:20 a.m. into the waters. Harper and many others were left floundering in the icy waters. One man was clinging to a piece of wood. Harper shouted, "Are you saved?" And the man said, "No." And he said, "Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." A few minutes later, they saw each other again. He asked the same question and received the same answer. Harper then slipped beneath the waters, never to resurface. But that man put his faith in Jesus Christ and was later rescued in one of the lifeboats. He testified that he was John Harper's last convert. John Harper faced death heroically and without fear, because he knew that for him, death would be just a stepping stone to be immediately into heaven to be with Christ. What about you if you were to die tonight? Since 1912, there have been many questions. Number one, if only there could have been more lifeboats so that all could be saved. If there only was a slight ripple on the water rather than a glassy sea on April 14th, then the iceberg would have been detected earlier. If only Fleet and Lee had been provided with binoculars, they would have seen the iceberg sooner. If only distress calls would have been heard and heeded by the Capitol, by the operator on the nearby California, but his radio was off for the night and they were sleeping. If only the 6 warnings that the Titanic received, that they would have listened to, and the captain would have altered course or slowed down the speed that they were traveling. If only Captain Smith would have given clearer direction that night. If only some of the lifeboats would have returned and picked up the hundreds who had fallen into the frigid water. If only the ship was made of better steel. But I believe this disaster happened in order that we might learn from it. And my prayer for you tonight is that you might not wake up in hell and say to yourself, "If only I would have listened to what the Word of God said. If only I would have acted upon what I heard." And if you're not saved tonight, maybe this is your last warning. You need to get saved tonight. A man named J.B. Nicholson tells of a story that happened to him. He was in a layover. He was at an airport, one of the biggest airports. It might have been Atlanta. One of the biggest airports in the United States, and he had time to kill. And he noticed a woman in a cowboy suit that wanted to get her boots polished. You know, when you go to the airport, you got men there that polish your boots, and you give them some money, and your boots are all polished. So there was two men who were offering their services. They were from Eritrea, and this woman didn't quite have enough money. So she said to the men, she said, well, maybe just do one boot, and the men didn't want any part of that. So J.B. Nicholson said, well, I'll help out. I'll provide the money for her to get her boots done, and I will get up also, and I'll have a conversation with you, and I'll get my boots done. So they were together up there, and they were talking, the four of them talking, and then J.B. Nicholson, he's an evangelist, he says, suppose you only had, suppose I had only 30 seconds to live. What would you tell me to do to prepare to meet God, to prepare for eternity? So I've got 30 seconds. Tell me what I need to do. So he said it to these men. And they didn't say anything. And he says, well, you guys, time's ticking down. There's only 15 seconds left. So then he turned to the woman that was from this country, Canada, United States. He said, well, you'll know. What would you tell me? And she just put her head down. She couldn't say anything. She said, well, let's reverse it. Now, you ask me. You've only got 30 seconds to live. This is what I would tell you. And this is what I would tell you tonight. If you only had 30 seconds to live. He says, he quoted two verses. One of them was, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And then he quoted the verse that we heard tonight, that this evangelist quoted to the guy in the water, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's as simple as that. I just want to read a couple more verses at the end of your Bible. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose the face, the earth, and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And verse 15 is what I want. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There will be no mistake in God's books, no revisions ever to be made, no final drafts. These books are a final list. It's God's list. His books cannot be altered. Either you'll be saved or lost. And if you die without receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, your name will be not found written in this book. And consequently, everyone's name that is not written in the book of life will be cast in to the lake of fire. So it's very important that there's a time in your life that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Your name gets written in the book of life. You will never be there. You will never, ever, ever see this judgment. But if you neglect his salvation, if you put it off and for some reason don't get saved, and your name's not written in the Lamb's book of life, then you will be cast into the lake of fire. So our prayer is that you'll be saved tonight if you are not saved. We'll just close with a word of prayer.